So now we're switching gears and we're getting over to the next most requested thing ever in our browser, and that's basically extensions. So we're going to talk about what we can do with extensions and how we're going to work with them. And all of your questions will be answered, because it seems like without extensions, people don't look at browsers nowadays. So hopefully we will have some good SDKs, some good ideas for you. And you saw a few previews in the first talk, but now we're going to go to the meat and tell people about what's going on here.
Okay.
We're a bit early, so sorry to rush you on stage.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a rush. No, I'm good. We're great.
So, Rory Fairweather, what are you doing in the company?
I'm a program manager on Microsoft Edge working on the extensions platform, and that's what I'm here to talk to you guys about today.
It must be a good feeling finally being able to talk about it now.
Yes, absolutely it is. That's a very true point.
Okay, so here's Rory telling you what's coming in extensions.
Alrighty. Okay. Hello. My name is Rory Fairweather. I'm a program manager on Microsoft Edge. And my talk today is building extensions for Microsoft Edge. So I have about 30 minutes here. Maybe we're running a little ahead of schedule, so maybe I have a little bit more time. I'm going to be covering four main topics. The first is just kind of taking a step back and looking at the modern extension framework that a lot of browsers are starting to adopt these days. The second topic is kind of taking a deeper dive look at the Microsoft Edge extensions platform. The third topic will be how do I get on there? I haven't touched anything.
There you go.
Awesome. The third topic is going to be in the form of a demo. So this is developing and debugging your extension within Microsoft Edge. And the fourth is packaging and distributing your extension. So let's just jump right into it. Modern extension framework. You know, one of our highest priorities when we were building Microsoft Edge was to make it the safest, most reliable, and fastest browser that we could build. And our team's experience in building browsers over the last 20 years has really taught us a lot about the adverse effects that poorly written extensions and even malicious extensions can have on a browser. So we're really using this as an opportunity to have a clean break from the past. So there's no more component object model, no more browser helper objects or toolbars, and no more having to deal with the Windows registry to get your extension to work. And if you've never experienced any of that, that's good, because this is the future. Microsoft Edge is fully embracing an extension framework that's built on the web technologies that you know and love. So that's JavaScript, HTML, CSS, JSON. Microsoft is also very committed to interop and alignment for the web in general. And you know what? Browser extensions is no exception. We're actually proud to announce that we're part of the new W3C Browser Extensions Community Group, whose mission is to standardize extension API, manifest schema, as well as the portability across different browsers. And this particular community group has representatives from Microsoft, Mozilla, Google, and Opera. Let me take a quick look at the extension architecture for this framework. So there's four major components. The first is the manifest, and this is a JSON file, and it contains all the information that has to do with the extension. So like the name, the version, some important files that are associated with the extension itself, as well as the permissions that the extension needs to work within the browser context. We'll take a look at that a little bit later. The second piece is called a background page. And this is an HTML page that's running within the content process of the extension. And there's no UI associated with this. It often includes some sort of JavaScript in order to manage tasks and to manage some state for the extension. And there's this concept of a persistent or a non-persistent background page. So a persistent background page is always active for the lifetime of the extension. In contrast to a non-persistent background page, which is only active when it's needed. So this is actually usually called an event page. And in general, event pages are recommended as they actually use less system resources and have a lower impact on the device's battery, which is super important. The third part is called a content script, and this is JavaScript that runs within the context of the web page that the user is viewing. It has access to the DOM, which means that it's able to read and make changes to the web page itself. So an extension can choose to whether or not they want to inject their JavaScript into every single web page that the user visits, or instead a particular set of web pages that they specify. And lastly, content scripts do have limited access to extension APIs, but we'll talk about how to get around that in a minute. The fourth and final component here is called a UI page. So this is an HTML document that does represent different pieces of UI associated with an extension. So a great example is a pop-up, and you can see a little mock-up right there. Effectively, it is an HTML canvas that's sitting right there, and it looks and breathes and feels just like an actual native piece of Microsoft Edge. UI pages can invoke functions that have been defined in the background page as well as other UI pages. So let's take a look at how these three last components interact with each other. It's easy to conceptualize the background page and the UI pages as being part of the parent extension. And as I mentioned a moment ago, they can define functions and then call functions that are within that are defined within the background page or other UI pages. The content script, on the other hand, is kind of this lone wolf, and it's outside of this parent extension. It does have access to the web page's DOM, so it can read and make changes to the web page that the user sees. But as I mentioned a moment ago, it can't do two things. It can't call some extension APIs, actually the majority of the extension APIs, nor can it call any of the functions that are defined within the parent extension. And that's where the message APIs come into play and allow the content script to actually do both of these things indirectly. I'm just going to do a quick overview of the different classes of APIs that exist for extensions. Really, these APIs fall into seven main categories. And for our initial release, I want to make it clear, for our initial release, Microsoft Edge will be supporting a subset of these APIs. And I'm going to, in a future slide, talk to you about how you can get more information on exactly what APIs we'll be supporting. So the first is all about extending browser UI. And that's adding icons to the browser, adding context menu items to the browser, as well as hooking into the tabbing system of the browser itself. The second is all about extending user data. So this is reading and changing the user's favorites, as well as maybe their browsing history or the cookies that they accumulate as they browse the web. The third is all around settings. This is all about the management APIs and the permission APIs, and we'll look at some of that in a moment. The fourth is messaging between components, and that's what we just saw a moment ago, allowing a content script, for example, to send messages to the parent extension and have the parent extension do certain things on its behalf. Fourth is localization. This is like the I18N APIs, which allow an extension to easily adapt to different languages and different regions with little to no code change. The sixth is networking, and this is being able to initiate but also deal with existing downloads that a user might have ongoing, and also touches on the web request APIs. And last but not least, we have OS integration, so giving an extension a little bit more insight into the system resources available, as well as being able to hook into the operating system's native notification system. So let's take a closer look now at the Microsoft Edge extension platform specifically. This is just a little bit of a plug here. You can actually preview extensions running in Microsoft Edge today if you're a member of the Windows Insiders program. This is pretty cool. If you're interested at all in taking a look at this, it's free. Just join. It's cool stuff. Actually, in fact, it's preview build 14291 and later for the PC. You can go to the URL right there on that slide, and that'll give you access. There's three extensions currently. We do plan on increasing the number there. And to be clear, the way that you're loading the extensions into Microsoft Edge is totally a developer scenario while we're building out the platform and enabling the Windows Store capabilities. So ultimately, these extensions, most users are going to be getting these extensions through the Windows Store. Let's talk about Microsoft Edge extensions APIs for a moment. So this is another great example of our data-driven approach when we're building this awesome browser. We analyzed the top browser extensions, and we really focused on implementing the APIs that we required in order to deliver these awesome extensions to our end users. If you take a look at the link there, aka.ms/extensions-api, you can see our API roadmap, which specifies the different APIs that are currently in development, which we plan to roll out as a part of our initial release, as well as other APIs that are currently under consideration for a future release. To a large extent, these APIs are compatible with other browsers that implement similar extension platforms. However, there are going to be APIs that are specific to Microsoft Edge. And last point on this slide, we're creating a porting tool that will allow an extension developer to take their extension that exists on another browser and bring it over to Microsoft Edge with minimal changes. And we'll be sharing more information on that very soon. Let's take a quick overview of the developer workflow before we jump into a demo. So the first is all about developing your extension. And because we're using all these awesome web technologies, you get to use whatever you want to develop these things. For the demo, I'm going to be using Visual Studio. The second is debugging your extension. And here you can use the super powerful F12 developer tools that are built right into Microsoft Edge. Third is packaging your extension. And we're using the Apex package type here. And lastly is distributing your extension. And this is through the Windows Store, and we'll talk about this after the demo. All right. So I'd like to switch over to this computer now. Cool. You know, when I was trying to figure out exactly what I wanted to demo for you guys, one of the things I was thinking about is maybe creating an extension with minimal functionality and kind of just showing you it working in Microsoft Edge. But because our extension platform is very similar to other extension platforms in other browsers, effectively you could do a simple Bing search and see tons of tutorials and walkthroughs effectively showing exactly what I'd be showing here. So I'm trying to find something that's you hopefully find is a little interesting and maybe you'll find pretty exciting. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to take an extension that exists and is actually available today in Google Chrome. The extension's name is OneNote Clipper. And I'm going to show you how easy it is to take that exact same source code and bring it over into Microsoft Edge. Does that sound good to you guys? All right. So I have actually the exact same source code here. I've just copied it twice. So let me open the Google Chrome version here, and I'll pull this to this side. Okay, so let me just quickly walk through this extension, and then I'll show you it working, and then we'll make the modifications as needed. So the first thing is this locales folder, and this really touches on those localization APIs that I mentioned a moment ago. So effectively what you do is you just have a whole bunch of folders specifying for different languages, so you can just interchange different text based on the language that the user is expecting to see. So for example, you see in English, you see Spanish, you see French as well. How's the size for you guys? Great. Second is just icons that you specify for that extension. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. In this third-party folder that you see here, this is actually just a jQuery minified library, in case you were wondering. This HTML file right here called background, as well as this JavaScript file right here called extension. So this is the background page and the background script, so the JavaScript file associated with this background page. We can take a look at that in a moment. And when I was talking about content scripts earlier, remember this is JavaScript files that are being injected into the web page, and that's what this inject JavaScript file is here. At the very bottom, sorry, I'm trying to show both these at the same time. At the very bottom, we have the last piece, and that's the manifest. So first thing I'm going to do here is actually just show you the extension running in Google Chrome really quickly. So I'm on this Wikipedia article from Microsoft Edge, and you'll see here in the top right corner, we have the OneNote icon. So I'm going to click on that right now. And so really what this has done, you'll see in the right-hand side, it says article. So this is an article, kind of condensed view of this web page. And we can scroll through it and show, hey, okay, so it's grabbed a whole bunch of the text, and it's brought some tables together. Great, fantastic. So you can select where you want to put this particular extension. Put this particular OneNote. I'm going to put in the demo and add a note, whatever. It doesn't matter. Chrome extension. Woohoo. And I'm going to click on clip here. So it's clipping this page, and it's actually going to be putting it into that OneNote notebook that I just specified. Clip successful. Fantastic. I'm going to click on this, because why not? Might as well show the end-to-end experience. So this has just opened up a brand new tab here. Going to OneNote online. Hope the connectivity holds up. Come on. It's good. And here it is. It's put it inside my OneNote notebook here. So that's what the extension does. I'm going to close this now. And I'm going to bring up Visual Studio. Now, how that's really zoomed in. Nope. I'm going to zoom out a little bit. OK, great. So as you can see in the left and the right, so left here is the manifest for that copy of Google Chrome, the Google Chrome copy that I had there. And the right-hand side here is the copy that I've made for Microsoft Edge. And actually, you'll notice that it's literally the exact same manifest file as it is right now. I'll walk through the manifest just to kind of touch on some of the things that I spoke about a moment ago. So this is the name of the extension, the version. This is where I'm specifying the background page. And that background page is referencing that extension's JavaScript file. We'll see that in a moment. You'll see that persistent keyword as well, and that's the property that I was talking about a moment ago. So this is active for the lifetime of this extension. This description here you see is kind of weird, ominous-looking description here. And effectively, this is telling Microsoft Edge or whatever browser, hey, check out those localized texts, because this is where you're going to be placing different localized text based on whatever language the user is expecting to see. These are the permissions that I talked about, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. This browser action is that icon that we saw and we clicked on in Google Chrome, and we'll soon click on in Microsoft Edge, and some other icons that the extension wants to specify. So at the very bottom there, you'll see there's a property called manifest version. And this is, my understanding is this is because Google Chrome at one point had a breaking change in their manifest schema, and so now they are having extensions specify which manifest version they're using. Right now, this isn't a concept that we have in Microsoft Edge. I could totally leave it there, but I might as well just remove it. And I'm going to make that. So that could count as a change, I guess. But I could have totally just left it, and Microsoft Edge would not have complained. I'm going to now take a look at the JavaScript file for the background page. So you'll notice, actually, even in the first line here, you see the Chrome object being referenced. And you'll actually see it throughout the code as well. I mean, in a whole bunch of other places, Chrome is being referenced all over the place. Now, the Chrome object is not something that Microsoft Edge supports. We're moving towards, hopefully, what becomes the standard browser object. So this is, in fact, going to cause an issue, but this will also give me an excuse to show you some of the debugging tools. So we're going to leave this intact for a moment. I'm going to go over to Microsoft Edge and zoom out a little bit. Cool. So one of the things that we've done in Microsoft Edge is we've decided to hide some of the development UI from the average user. They simply just don't care about a lot of these things, and so we're just going to hide it from them completely. However, as soon as you want to put on your extension developer hat, which I will right now, you can go to About Flags. And so this is a protocol that's supported by a whole bunch of different browsers. And what Edge does with this is they have a whole bunch of developer settings, as well as experimental features you might be interested in playing around with. But we're going to check this box here. The third one says Enable Extension Developer Features. So I'm going to check this guy here. And I'm going to close the tab. So what this has told Edge is, I'm a developer of extensions. Please show me those pieces of UI that you didn't want to show other users. So first thing I'm going to do now is load that extension into Microsoft Edge. Up there in the top right corner, I'm going to click on the More button. And I'm going to go down to the Extensions menu item, which is right above Settings. And you'll see this management pane open. And so this is where all the extensions that I've loaded into Edge are going to appear. And you see that button, sorry, to be clear, this pane is accessible to everybody. You didn't need to do anything in about flags to be able to see this. However, this load extension button is how we side load extensions into Microsoft Edge. So this is totally only visible because we just checked that checkbox. I'm going to click on load extension here, and it's going to open up a folder viewer. So here we are in the downloads folder that what I showed you actually at the beginning of this demo, and I'm going to choose the Microsoft Edge copy of this. So this is the one with that little manifest change that I had made. And so now you see that the OneNote Clipper has been successfully loaded into Microsoft Edge. But you also notice that there doesn't appear to be any UI affordance associated with the OneNote Clipper anywhere on Edge. And you might have heard in a previous session, this is because we've taken the position that we want it to be an explicit user action to say, yes, you know what, this extension is important enough to me that I want to always see it on the UI of Edge. But until they do that, up here in the top right corner, you'll see that the extension has actually just appeared right here. And Microsoft Edge is smart enough to say, hey, you know what, you only have one extension appearing in this menu, so I'm going to let it expand and take the full width of this menu. So you have the icon associated with it, you have the title associated with this particular icon. But had there been other extensions inside this menu, then it would have just collapsed down to just show the icon for that extension. So as I mentioned a moment ago, in the JavaScript, we have a whole bunch of code that references that Chrome object, and that's not something that we support. So if I click on this right now, it's not going to do anything. I'm going to click on that. Didn't do anything. All right. I'm going to go back up into this menu. And because it is, maybe this is something that's super important to me. I really want to see this extension on the main UI of Edge. All right, fine. So let me right-click it, and I'm going to select Show Next to Address Bar. And there it is. Cool, so maybe it'll work magically now. Click it, not working. All right, well, let's figure out what's going on. And now I've kind of moved past the development phase, and now I'm more into the debugging phase of my extension here. So I'm going to go back to the More button here, open up this menu, go down to the Extensions menu item again. And now I'm going to show you the second level of our management UI. So this is the extensions, as I said before. You see all the extensions that you've loaded into Microsoft Edge. But I can actually click on this guy here. And it shows me a little bit more information about this extension in particular. So some information like the description, the version, when it was installed. Three pieces of information that I'm going to skip over and come back to in a moment. The ability to turn on or off the extension, as well as another toggle that says, hey, you want to show this button next to the address bar, so I turn it off, and OneNote's disappeared. Turn it on, OneNote appears again. I'm actually going to turn this off just for now. There's a reload extension button, which is saying, you know that place that I loaded the extension from previously? Yeah, just reload it from there again, so you don't have to constantly be selecting it from that same file. This is a list of the different permissions that this extension has been granted. So this extension, for example, is allowed to create and change and rearrange browser tabs. Like you saw in Google Chrome when I had clipped it and viewed it, it opened up in a new tab, and that's because of this capability here. And lastly, a button to remove the extension from Microsoft Edge. So I'm going to go back up to these three developer-oriented pieces of UI. And again, this is another example of things that are not usually visible to most users. It is only really visible because I went to About Flags and checked that checkbox and saying, I'm a developer, please show me this information. The first thing is an ID that's associated with the extension kind of within Microsoft Edge. And some developers might find this ID useful for different scenarios. The second is the location from where I've loaded this extension from. So you'll see it's been loaded from my downloads folder, and it was the copy that we'd made from Microsoft Edge. And the third is the ability to inspect the background page. And that's what I'm totally interested in doing right now. So I'm going to click on this. And it's going to open up F12 in full screen. So you'll notice up here on the left, it says background.html. And when I mouse over, or not. Either way, this is the background page that's associated with this extension. So remember what the issue is. Chrome object, we don't support it. We expect the browser object. One thing that I have right here is change exception behavior. So I'm going to make sure that I break on unhandled exceptions, so that when Microsoft Edge runs into that problem that I just described a moment ago, it'll say, hey, hold on, this is the issue. So I'm going to do that, and I go over to the console, and I'm going to tell Microsoft Edge to please reload the background page. And boom, there it is, exception. Unable to get property local of undefined or null reference. And if I mouse over this and inspect it a little further, okay, chrome.storage is undefined. And we know what the reason is. I've said it too many times now. I'm going to close F12. And I'm going to go back to that JavaScript file for the background script. And so there's actually a number of ways that you could go about fixing this. I mean, the first and maybe the most obvious is just everywhere that you see Chrome, just replace it with browser. And in a lot of cases, that is a valid solution. If you're an extension developer and you really want to maintain one code base that kind of works across different browsers, which may be expecting different objects, then perhaps you could do, is Chrome defined? If it isn't, then use browser or vice versa. Then the third, actually one of the ones that I'm going to be doing here, just because all you guys are watching me and I don't want to screw up typing it, is just setting a new variable called Chrome and set it to browser. And effectively, this is just going to say, hey, anytime you see Chrome, just pretend that we've said browser. And so we're going to go ahead and save that now. So now I'm going to go back to Microsoft Edge. And this seems like this is a great opportunity to use that reload extension button, which will effectively reload that extension from the previously specified location. So I'm going to click this. And look at that. A new tab has just opened up. Connectivity, let's go. Congratulations, OneNote Clipper is ready to use. And this is a great sign because I didn't see this before. And so clearly something in the extension is working. So I'm going to close this tab here. And we're on this page. So because this extension uses content scripts and it injects content into the web page, previously it wasn't working, right? We hadn't made that change. So it never injected anything into this web page. But now that the extension is working, when I refresh this tab, it's now going to inject whatever script it needs within this web page context. So now I should be able to go up here and click on this icon. Just took a little while, I don't know why I did that. And as you can see now, the extension is actually working within the context of Microsoft Edge. So I can click on sign in, and this isn't something that I showed you as part of the Chrome thing earlier, just because I had actually done it already. Sign in with my Microsoft account. Hopefully. Great. And now we're into the exact same experience that we just saw in the Chrome demo. Having some weird connectivity issues. It's the same concept, though. I'm able to go in here and select the location that I want to put this particular note. And I can actually add a note here, and I can say web summit demo exclamation mark. I don't know why it's taking so long. I'm going to clip it anyway and see what happens. Fingers crossed. Not working. Well, you get the idea. We can switch back to the slides now, please. And so that was really, that was one line change that I had to make. And granted, I did the simplest fix possible to get it to actually work. But one line change and I got the exact same fully functional extension working in Microsoft Edge. I think it's pretty cool stuff. Okay, so we are using the Universal Windows platform for packaging and distributing your AppX. So the Windows Store is soon going to be that one place for all of your apps, all of your games, and all of your Microsoft Edge extensions. This also means that you get access to the Windows Dev Center and being able to manage your extensions, so specifying description of the different artwork that's associated with it, and also specify the different regional availability for your extension, if you only want it available in certain places. Also, through the Windows Dev Center dashboard, you'll also get access to be able to track promotional campaigns, customer engagement, as well as reviewing analytic data. So if you've been keeping track of any of the news coming out of the Build conference that just concluded last week, we're going to be working with a curated set of extension authors as a part of our initial release. So some of them are here, and there's more to come as well. But of course, as we continue to grow our extension platform, we're going to be introducing more and more extensions for Microsoft Edge and offering them through the Windows Store. So if you're an extension developer and you have an extension that works in another browser and you've brought it over to Microsoft Edge and you want it offered through the Windows Store, hit up that link right there, aka.ms/extension-request. Complete the form and let us know that you're interested. Some takeaways. First, Microsoft Edge supports a new modern extension framework that's based on all of those web technologies that you know and love. Second, Microsoft is part of the W3C browser extensions community group. If you're interested in taking a look at our API roadmap, go to this URL right here. Extensions will be distributed through the Windows Store as a part of our initial release. And if you're interested and you have an extension that works in Microsoft Edge and you want it in the Windows Store, check out this link here and fill out the form. Thank you very much for your time.
Can I get an extra request? That was one of his first big talks, and he's done an amazing job so far.
Thank you.
I like the little details, like, for example, that the permissions are clearly visible of the extension, because as cool as it is to have extensions, every single browser maker has the problem that they slow down the browser and that there's a security threat. So, anyways, we've talked earlier that Edge and the engines that run it and the engines that power it are not only there for web content and for web pages, but also to build applications with it, and even we saw an OpenGL application being extended with Chakra Core and running on it. Apparently, some people have to be up here on stage. Can somebody tell them that they should be coming? They need 5 minutes to set up. Okay, so we got 5 minutes bio break, which means you can go out quickly and come back. 5:30, we're going to meet again for the next talk.